I know I do this every month. It's hard to believe it's August.
It's another month.
Because we always come to Columbus first. And so it's really a reminder that it's another month. We're with Mayor Jim Lineup. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, you're very welcome. Welcome to Columbus.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to rain. I don't know, but it's summertime.
It's okay with me. It can rain today. Yeah.
So, gosh, I hate to start like this, but, you know, this just everything that's going on right now with the political climate, you know, the two recent shootings this past week, and even in Bloomington, you know, we've had protest, arrest at the Bloomington Farmers Market. Now we're seeing KKK flyers in the news. What's your message? What's going on right now?
Well, you know, it's really kind of sad because, for obvious reasons, any death that comes about in that manner. But, you know, we've got so much good news. You know, the local economy is doing extremely well. We've got some projects here in Columbus that we're very excited about. You know, we think that these are raising the quality of living or the quality of life here in our community, but yet we're troubled or that notion is tempered by what we see happening elsewhere. And, you know, what we're trying to do here is to set a good example. You know, hopefully people will sort of realize that there is a lot to be said for the diversity that we embrace here in Columbus. I had an opportunity over the weekend to do two things. On Saturday, went to a groundbreaking for a Hindu temple. And I talked to them about the fact that I thought it was a very American thing to do, that they've come here for some economic opportunity, and they brought their religion with them, and now they're going to have a facility within which to practice that. And I was really kind of heartened by the fact that they, you know, they're going to put down further roots. I mean, this is a community, there may be, the numbers vary, but 2,000 to 2,600 Indians in the Columbus area, so they're going to make an even deeper commitment, you know, to the community here beyond just living here and buying homes. They're going to build a Hindu temple. And I found that pretty heartening. On Sunday, I had an opportunity to participate in an exhibition of, African-American philanthropy. August is Black Philanthropy Month. And so it's an opportunity for us to do a little bit here in Columbus to celebrate some of the folks who are African-American who have exemplified philanthropy here down through the years. And again, it's a very heartening story, and it's one that you can observe if you want to stop by the Commons on your way out of town and sort of see some local examples, you know, that we have. And so there are a lot of good news, but yet it is tempered by the fact that some of these tragedies that have occurred, and we most recently with Dayton and El Paso, but then there are others that we can all add to the list. And so we just have to sort of take them and try as best we can to learn and make make improvements as we go forward.
I have to ask you about the farmers market, because I'm sure you've heard about the controversy down in Bloomington, and I know that the Columbus market here is city owned as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I think I've read where the city council has already somewhat addressed the issue of what happens.
Not here. No, we've talked about it, but we haven't really been confronted, you know, with anything along what they've had in Bloomington. I drove by the farmers market last Saturday. Didn't have a chance to stop, but it was pretty well attended. And candidly, the biggest problem we've got now is that with all the weather that we had earlier, we're a little short on produce. I followed what's happened in Bloomington, but we haven't seen that here yet.
Do you anticipate, you said you've talked about it, so let's say a white supremacist decides to apply for a permit here, and knowing what happened in Bloomington, is there anything different that you would do?
Well, we're not quite there yet. We'll wait for the application, I guess. But, we're not completely city run. I mean, you know, we do this on Cummins facilities. We have some pretty high expectations with respect to insurance coverage. There have been a few things that have happened that have naturally dissuaded people from participating in the farmers market here. And so, you know, perhaps that will work, in other areas as well. But so far, we've been able to avoid the controversies that they've befallen Bloomington.
it's I read too in the Republic where the city council is saying no e-scooters until the city set rules. So that there is one instance of something where, again, in Bloomington, I think they got there last fall, and just last week have finally come up with a set of rules and regulations. So is the city council now moving forward on a set rule?
Well, there's no movement taking place. I mean, we're going to wait and see what happens in Bloomington and how those rules work out. Our plan had been to wait for some other community to sort of demonstrate how this gets done well. You know, the issues that you run up against, as you're probably well aware in Bloomington or Indianapolis elsewhere, is that, you know, people leave these scooters wherever they want to leave them. Sometimes that's in the sidewalk, sometimes it's in the roadway, sometimes it's in a river. And, we don't want to have to send people around on scooter patrol, you know, to clean up after that. We also have some concerns about safety, and primarily for the scooter rider, but for scooter riders that are underage, or maybe motorists who happen to be trying to avoid a scooter. We want to understand just how all that works, and so we're hopeful that another community could sort of pave the way, pave the trail, or what blaze the trail, whatever the phrase would be, and give us a little bit of idea as to how to do that. And then if we like what we see, we'll open it up to scooters.
City Council is taking up vaping tonight, so being kind of aggressive on the smoking ordinance. You already have an anti-smoking ordinance.
We do. We have a pretty complete anti-smoking ordinance, and what we're doing is just adding vaping to the definition of smoking. So it'll be treated similarly to cigarettes and other tobacco products.
I know. I think it was last month we talked about a study about the transit system here in Columbus, and some of that information is starting to trickle back. Have you had a chance to look at it?
Yeah, we got the study came back, and we're primarily interested in a new location for what we call the transfer station. You know, right now the transfer station is located near Millrais Center, and it's on the wrong side of the tracks, and that's in a literal sense, not the old proverbial one. We are concerned about transit delays related to train traffic, as well as just a safety factor of having a lot of buses crossing a train track. So we have engaged in this study, and the study looked at several different things. I mean, in general, whether our routes are going to the right places and are the correct length. But more importantly, from my perspective, is where the transfer station ought to be. And they've identified a location close to the United Waste Center. And so we are going to spend a little bit of time further analyzing that and hopefully have something decided by the end of this year.
And is it also about, shifting populations, modes of transportation? You know, we just talked about e-scooters, too.
Right. Yeah, no, it's basically trying to figure out where your riders live, and where they want to go, and trying to make sure that happens as efficiently as we can. Part of what we're constrained with is we've only got so much money that can be spent on buses and drivers. And so you're pretty well limited to five routes. And what's the most efficient use of the money that the five drivers, the five buses, what's the most efficient process there to move the people as best we can. We would like to find a way to get out to the Waylesboro Industrial Park, but every time we look at it, it's a bridge too far. I mean, it's just a little bit outside our range. And we will continue to try to pursue alternatives. We have talked about van pooling. There's an organization out of Indianapolis that we have talked to that will run a van pool for us, and that is sort of like a carpool, only they provide an eight, it could be a 7 or 15 passenger van based upon the demand. But the notion would be that you'd pick up a few people in your neighborhood in the mornings, and you'd go out to Waylesboro. Everybody works at the same place or close by, near together. And then in the afternoon you come back. And so it's an opportunity for us to mimic what a bus route would do, perhaps with a little bit more, maybe not so much flexibility, but it's tailored to the situation that people really are looking for. So we've got something going on in that arena. But the bus study will be pretty much the area that's covered today with bus service will be the area that's covered in the future. We may make some changes with respect to routes and stops. But the big thing for us, again, is where the transfer station goes.
I read about the groundbreaking for the Hindu temple you mentioned earlier, too. $1.2 million to build. And we know about the rich tradition of architecture, of course, here in Columbus. I guess my question is a little bit more along the lines of, when something significant like that comes into town, are there certain rules or ordinances that they have to follow to build something like that here?
You know, that's a great question, because our planning people will tell me that they get requests from all over the country, you know, as to what our planning guidelines were that resulted in the architecture that we have here. And the answer is, we had none. You know, had we had guidelines, probably wouldn't have had the architecture that we have. So, you know, our guidelines or building codes are pretty much what you would think with respect to the number of exits based on the size, and again, based on the size and number of parking spaces that you have, that kind of thing. They had a mock-up, a little model out there at the groundbreaking, and it looks a lot like a Hindu temple. So, you know, my sense is that's what we'll get.
Yeah. I just had to get your comment or see if there's anything you could say about this former Mayor Kristen Brown lawsuit with the city, saying that the city violated public access law over a records dispute. And then all I know now is the city is appealing the judge's decision, and at odds are the attorney fees. Long story short, is that kind of what's going on?
Well, we have not appealed. We have filed a notice of intent to appeal.
Okay.
And we are still working through we're working through that, and so it's pending litigation, and I really don't have much to say.
No other comment on
No
on
other
the
comment
litigation.
Right now.
Okay.
Yeah, once it's settled, we'll be glad. I'll be happy to talk, but not now.
Okay. Update on any city collaboration with Bloomington. Remember, we talked about the trades district and the mills, and there was something moving forward from Indianapolis, maybe a consulting firm, on helping boost that collaboration.
Right.
Is that still moving forward?
Yeah, it is. I think what you're talking about is what we call Elevate Ventures, or Velocities, which
Correct.
Is our
That's
local
what it was,
our local collaboration. And Elevate Ventures, which is the Indianapolis-based arm, state-based arm, they were tasked with finding an entrepreneur in residence. They had to hire that person, and they have since done that. His name is Cy Magnon. It sounds like Minion, only it's Magnon. He's on board now. Has moved up to the area, and I've had a chance to meet him. We haven't had a chance to talk much because it's still pretty early, and our schedules haven't meshed. But yeah, where that's moving forward pretty nicely, and so he will be splitting his time between Columbus and Bloomington, and we've already been able to hook him up with a few of the entrepreneurs here who could use his help, and we'll see where that goes. But it's an exciting venture. I mean, this has proven very beneficial in the other Indiana communities that already have it. I like it because, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit in Columbus, but it needs a little bit of help and either some guidance in terms of business planning or funding. And so those two benefits should come from this program. I think, too, it's an opportunity for us to once again work a little more closely with Bloomington. You know, Bloomington and Columbus have sat side by side for decades, and without a whole lot of interaction between the two. I mean, I went to IU, right? So I know how to get to Bloomington, but it's something that I think that will benefit both communities, just to be able to participate with the other, because we have different strengths. You know, Bloomington is a pretty wide thinking. I mean, they got a lot of different ideas and a great entrepreneurial spirit. In Columbus, maybe perhaps we're a little bit more focused on just the engineering aspect at hand, you know, and how you make this, how you bring this product to market. So I think we can learn from each other, and I'm really excited about the program.
You know, something we talked about last month, and I see it went through the approval process in both city and county, is the agreement for the jail addiction treatment program. And this is at the city-county jail.
Correct. Yeah, this will be in the jail. It's a work release type program, but it needs to be funded. And the funding will be particularly used for, like, case managers, you know, people who will oversee the participants in the program. It's all part of our global effort to try to reduce substance abuse issues in the community. And when I say community, it's not just the city, but the county, and then in a broader sense, you know, the counties that surround us. But one of the things we realize is that there need to be multiple pathways to recovery. You know, there's not going to be one size that fits all. There's not going to be one way to do this that results in a universal recuperation, if you will. And so this is one, you know, of many pathways to recovery. We've been able to get some funding from a grant that will assist with this. Required a little bit of a local match, and so we've come up with the match. And Yeah, it's getting started. They've begun to hire the people they need, and I believe it'll really kick off about the first of the year. But yeah, it's in a way, and again, candidly, the initial some of the statistics we track are crime statistics, statistics that come to us from the health the hospital with respect to admittances at the emergency room, and we listen to the county health people talk to us about overdose deaths. And those numbers have begun to trend in the correct direction. I think it's a little too early to say that it's the result of something that we've done. We need to understand a little better why they're moving the way they are, why those numbers are moving the way they are. But we've got a long way to go, but it would appear that we've reached a corner, or we've covered a hill, and we're hopefully working our way down the other side.
Before we go, there's always these big projects. Two kind of always jump out at me. One is the Fair Oaks Mall, which had a public forum. So I assume you learned a lot.
We did.
Because you had a good turnout, too.
We had a little over 200 people there. It's one of those deals where you invite the public and you never really know, who's going to show up. But we had a little over 200 people show up, which I thought was a great number, evidenced a fair amount of interest from the public. And I thought support for the project. Most people who drive by the mall, and if you travel around to other communities, you realize which way malls are headed, realize that something needed to be done. And I think, too, that they understand that as far as Columbus is concerned, we needed to step up our game, so to speak, with respect to recreational opportunities and what we do through our parks department. So this will give us an opportunity to, sort of take what was becoming an eyesore in the community and turn it into a benefit for all of us. So we're pretty excited. We have another meeting coming up August 13th. This will be at 6 p.m. at Fair Oaks Mall, just one of the stores in there. You start walking through, you'll see us. And we'll hear back from the consultants what they gained from the last meeting, and then we'll take the next step forward.
Is what the public is wanting for, asking in line of what the city kind of had planned?
Yeah, our vision was to have some parks and recreational type programming that would occur in this space. And what we're trying to do is maybe focus in a little bit on what truly is important to the community. We heard a lot about pickleball, and I get it. We will probably have to have a pickleball area. But at the same time, we're also trying to reach out to, what other kind of uses people would find in worthwhile, for this facility, and we want to accommodate those.
And then anything new on the conference center?
We are down to four in terms of respondents, developers who are working with us. I want to say their next round of documents is to be submitted, I think it's the 1st of September, maybe that first week in through there. And hopefully at that point then we'll have some specific proposals that we can compare one to the other and begin to make a choice as to who we want to work with.
Any of those local or from the area?
Yeah, there were a couple local. The Dora family that owns the Indigo Hotel and has another property, Holiday Inn, out on the west side. They have submitted a proposal along with some others. They're all part of teams. The Sprague family, who owns several hotels in the Taylorsville area, has submitted. And in fact, they have an office just right across the street from the location. So we've got those, and then there were two others, who were not local.
And then is there a certain date that the proposals have to be in by? Or?
Well, yeah, it's sometime early in September.
Okay.
When we get those in, we'll do some evaluation. And basically what you do at that point is you pick the developer that you want to work with, and then you further fine-tune the proposal to make sure that you get what it is that you're looking for. What we've talked to them about so far is 140 rooms, a 9,000 square foot ballroom, parking appropriate to that, some breakout rooms, some smaller conference facilities. And then if it makes sense to them, we'd like to see a residential option. That we have some ground, we have two plots that we're talking about, but one of them is south of 2nd Street and east of the jail. And so would it make sense to try to build some apartments or condominiums in that area? And so while you're talking to us about the hotel conference center, can you also talk to us, a little bit about that subject? And we'll just see. We're focused on the hotel conference center, but we are interested in an alternate that would add, you know, a residential component to that as well. Because again, not far down our line of thinking is a grocery store, you know, some kind of an urban grocer. And we know that to make that attractive to whatever grocer we might talk to, you know, we need to have people living in proximity to that area. And so, you know, not just a transient population that would be, you know, staying in the hotel, but some residents who would add to the area. So yeah, it's all kind of, again, exciting, and it'll all hopefully come a little closer together the first week of September.
That's all I had. Anything else you'd like to announce, or are we good?
No, we would just want to say we have had a lot of heat here recently, and so I do have some concern about people in the community who are maybe susceptible to the heat and, you know, don't have air conditioning or don't have a place to go to get cool. The Commons is air conditioned, and it even comes with entertainment. If you go sit in the playground, you can watch the kids and stay cool at the same time. Hamilton Ice Arena, you know, is open most of the time. And by definition, right, it's going to be cooler in there. You might want to take a coat, but you can just sit in the stands and watch what's going on. We have had some questions about, you know, hail and tornadoes. You know, where should I go? What should I do? And one of the things I point out to people is that, well, I think the parking garages, you know, would be a good place to go if you need, you know, some kind of emergency shelter. It'd be, you know, give you a little bit of safety from both of those. So just want to point that out to folks who might not have thought about it. And other than that, it's a great time to be in Columbus.